Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, it is indeed President's Cup week down under in Australia, plus our predictions. I get into the weeds on pairings, Tiger, Team USA, and a whole lot more with Jeremy Schilling from the Teeing It Up podcast, and NFL Week 13 headlines, the college football playoff madness. It's officially been set, and some very exciting content news for us and the podcast as well. But first, when you're out golfing or your phone sits in the cart is a big issue these days. The cup holder's taken up by beers and water, and the front compartment is for pretty much everything else but your phone. It's a scary proposition where your phone goes, and this was an unsolved mystery until Desert Fox Golf came along with the Phone Caddy, the go-to phone holder for golf carts designed to keep your phone safe and at your fingertips. With sliding wings and a faceplate, it adjusts to fit almost every phone model, Velcros right on in seconds. It lets you do all of those things you love to do and you wished you could do during your round. You can multitask, answer texts and calls, watch the game, keep your scores, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the golf course at all times. So it's desertfoxgolf.com, desertfoxgolf.com, 20% off their store for everything this holiday sales season. You can get one of those new golf towels too for 75% off whenever you get any Phone Caddy. They're in several different colors and models, new logos coming out all the time. They still have their pink ribbon in as well for breast cancer research, doing a lot of great things out there. Our friends at desertfoxgolf.com. Plus, if you're needing training aids, then golftrainingaids.com is the place for you, and we're here to get you a site-wide discount on everything you need to help your game. You got to follow us on Facebook. It's at Course of Life Podcast. We're going to send out a link weekly, including this week, with the link that you can go to look at their entire catalog. They've been serving the industry for more than 35 years, and they're your one-stop shop for everything to improve your game. When you go to that link, our discount code is COL10. That's COL10 for 10% off your purchase. Again, follow Course of Life on Facebook to grab that link and get yourself a deal that will help lower your scores today.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to another edition of Course of Life, presented by Izzo Golf and our friends over at Desert Fox Golf. This is the podcast where we talk about everything happening in the world of golf, plus other things that interest us from the world of sports and pop culture. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and Alex was the Hero Championship, whatever it's really called.
World Championship. They changed the name of this tournament like every couple of years. Basically, they were golfing for a lot of money in the Bahamas. That's all.
Yeah, it was all the guys who won this year golfing together in the Bahamas. And the takeaway from this weekend is that Patrick Reed is a dirty, rotten cheater.
Yes. So we had, I don't know how, Mike, but somehow December golf in the Bahamas created a scandal. That is not, yes, that's not something I anticipated going into last week's coverage. The way we perceive things of happening, but sure enough, Patrick Reed, a guy who we've profiled, and he's a very polarizing guy, so I'm not totally surprised that it was him that's in the midst of this chaos. But essentially, all you need to know at home, if you missed it, he was in a waste bunker. The rule when you're in waste bunkers, not a greenside bunker, is, you know, you can put your club on the sand, but you can't be playing around and giving yourself a better lie. There were a couple of motions that he made with his club directly behind the ball as he was about to hit, which clearly made him look like he was sweeping lots of sand behind his ball lie, and he was caught pretty red-handed, to the bottom line.
Most definitely. I mean, he, during his practice swing, brought that club back pretty low, pretty far, and took a whole lot of sand away from behind it, really opened up that lie for him.
Twice.
Definitely improved the lie twice, yeah. So, I mean, that's... It's just horrendous.
Yeah,
Of
course, in typical Patrick Reed style, immediately defensive, immediately, you know, feels like he's being accused of something he didn't do. He said in the truck after when they were interviewing with him after the round, well, they said I moved sand. No, not they said you moved sand, Patrick. You did move sand. We all saw it, and it was clear as day. And it did not look right when you slowed it down, when you looked at the replay, when you watched it at full speed. It was a clear indicator that he was trying to improve his lie in an extremely subtle way. And it's just another black eye for a guy who already has a really, really weird reputation on tour in general.
Yeah, I mean, he's already considered one of the least favorite guys for everyone to play with on tour.
Yeah.
I think we should just put Patrick Reed out there by himself and just let him play and see what happens, and just let him be his own loner.
Oh, this week maybe you want a 1-on-2 match in the President's Cup? You just want to feed him to the wolves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that in terms of who he plays with and what his schedule is this week. And I'm also looking to see if the Australian fans decide to go at Reed. You would hope that they heckle him. He's the kind of guy that loves giving it back too, and he's done that in Ryder Cups in years past. So I'm looking to see if there's some animosity between the Australian crowd at the President's Cup this week and Patrick Reed after Sandgate, when Reed was caught, like again, I mentioned, pretty red-handed trying to improve his lie last Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Let's talk about the rest of what happened at the Hero World Champ Shootout Champion, whatever.
You love it. You love it. You love it. Hero World Challenge as of this year.
There you go.
It'll change again next year, so.
I'm sure it will. Tiger, of course, it's his event, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was in contention. He played well, not well enough Wednesday to Saturday, even par, wasn't good enough. He battled back into contention. He had a look at the lead on Saturday, but quickly gave it up on the back nine. Really let his emotions go and had a poor bogey five on a short par four when he was right in the thick of things. Couple other bogeys down the stretch. He stumbled, and Mike, this is a birdie fest, so like you need to be like pretty on top of your game fairways and greens wise. And despite the fact he played well under par for the week, guys like Henrik Stenson and John Rahm rolled even harder on Saturday afternoon, and Stenson ended up getting the win over John Rahm, the Race to Dubai champion.
Yeah, so it was good to see him at least keeping his form up, John Rahm, that is, after winning out there in the Race to Dubai and the Euro Tour. So we had two Europeans vying for the Hero World Challenge and winning eventually. So what does that mean? What do you think that means to play so well a week before the President's Cup?
I mean, they're making a little statement and just reminding everyone that the Ryder Cup reigns supreme. You know, yeah, this little USA versus international team is cute, but they're reminding everyone that the Euros dominate the Ryder Cup, whether we like it or not. So a nice statement by them, indeed. I think there was some good things to be seen in terms of form for Team USA. One guy that you and I were looking at was Ricky Fowler and how he was going to come out after a 3-month layoff. After getting married, and he looked pretty good overall. 4 under par in the final round, 10 under for the week, was putting it pretty nicely. Mike, I was with my dad getting some drinks this past weekend when he was visiting down here, and I brought up Ricky being real out of sorts and not really being extremely rusty, and the bartender stopped me and said, "Hey, just let's let Ricky live his life. You know he'll probably pop back out there and play amazing golf, so don't be too hard on them." So, Mike, I think we might be being a little too hard on Ricky, so we'll leave him alone for this week if he brings his game to Australia.
I mean, if he brings his game to Australia, then we'll compliment on doing a good job as long as Team USA wins.
Get the W.
You know, if he plays well and we don't win, then I don't care. I'll pile on top of everybody here. That's really all that matters, is getting the W at the end of the day. Remember, as a great man once said, you're either first or you're last.
Yeah, I don't know who that was, but I think he was in the realm of racing or something like that, right? He liked to make a lot of left turns. Is that correct?
He liked little baby Jesus.
That's right. Him too. Shout out to Wonder Bread, and shout out to the President's Cup as well. So predictions, Prez Cup, Australia. It's going to be nighttime golf. We'll get a little bit into that in our part two of our conversation with Jeremy Schilling coming up shortly. But who do you like, Mike? I mean, I have a feeling which way you're going to lean prediction wise. My only question is, how much do you think Team USA is going to win by? And maybe who's our guy this week? Who's going to be the horse for Team USA?
So here's the funny thing. I don't know if I'm really going to pick Team USA right
now. Wow.
Okay. I mean, Ricky played well. That gives me a little bit of confidence maybe going into the week. Yeah. But I just don't know if you're going to see success the week after, if you're going to see Tiger put two tournaments together again that are really good, if he's going to be able to play and manage really well, if you're going to see all the guys stay healthy, if they're all going to go out there and just do it. And you know, to me, when you have international team that's is doing well as well, you have a lot of good guys on both teams here that are going to be playing really well. And to me, you have Adam Scott, who played at Royal Melbourne back in 2011 at the President's Cup, so he knows this course, he knows what it's like there for the international team. And Team USA, it's a lot of young guys. So
yeah, I would say I think there are maybe a couple more question marks on the European team, but on the top half of the roster, it is pretty evenly matched. So it kind of all boils down to how the pairings get drawn out for the few days of the Presidents Cup playing. Louis Oosthuizen, Adam Scott, Mark Leishman, those are the horses for the international team. We're gonna need them. They're gonna need them big time. And there's a lot of younger guys that are gonna be some big question marks. Royal Melbourne's a really fast golf course. Greens are going to be rolling really, really fast. Apparently Augusta-like or maybe even faster. So it's going to favor the good putters out there. So we'll see if playing captain Tiger gets it done for the Team USA roster in the President's Cup. Down under in Australia, it should be a good one. And a lot more to come in the next couple weeks as we kind of unravel everything that happened in the international play.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the President's Cup, or I should say you will talk more about the President's Cup in a little bit when we air your chat with Jeremy Schilling on his podcast, a little bit more cross-branding like we did last week as well. Yeah. Let's talk about a couple other things going on in the world of golf. There was a wedding Thanksgiving.
Yes, Peter Uihlein. I wanted to get your opinion on this. I know you've been around a lot of weddings before work-wise. Yes, you've been to a lot as a guest. You were at mine. I was at yours. We had pretty standard weddings. They were spring Saturdays, very form-fitting into the annual schedule. I noticed, you know, Peter Uihlein's a busy guy. He's playing golf around the world all year. He chose to get married the day after Thanksgiving, Mike. So I just kind of want your thoughts on a Black Friday wedding or like a wedding around a holiday weekend. Is that sacrilegious or are you cool with that if it's the right occasion?
I mean, I think I'm cool with it. I think you got a schedule based on what you want and when you think you want to celebrate that day. And it really doesn't matter ultimately when in the calendar it is. You do it when you want to do it. I will say, of course, having a birthday around a holiday, I know how it's like to try to celebrate your personal holiday along with a national holiday.
Double dipping,
so that can
yeah.
be a little difficult. That's a little difficult, but, you know, congratulations to him.
Yeah, congratulations to Peter and Chelsea. It looked like a really cool ceremony. And so Black Friday wedding, we're okay with it. I think there were a lot of golfers there, so it fit into everyone's calendar. You know, we're kind of winding down the schedule. So shout out to the happy Uihlein couple for tying the knot indeed.
Let's move on to a content announcement that I have absolutely no idea what it's about.
You don't at all. I was going to wonder if you were going to throw a guess out at all, because it's something that we've teased about me making a trip somewhere. It's going to be very exciting.
You're getting on a plane after we finish recording, and you're going to go down under and you're going to go to Australia.
Oh, Lord. Wouldn't that be amazing?
For the President's Cup. You're getting put up 5-star accommodations the whole way, and you're leaving me behind. This is the last podcast I'm ever going to be a part of. And I just wasted all my money on a brand new microphone.
That's great. Yeah. So I got the trip to Australia done 5 years ago. Yep. Thankfully, okay. my buddy Garrett took me, and I didn't pay a dime for the flight. That was a great trip. Got to go to Sydney, the outback, fed the kangaroos, did the whole nine. That was probably one of the coolest trips I've ever done in my life. I am not going to Australia next week for the Pres Cup, though.
Okay.
I was. It's going to be a little bit more local, staying in the United States. I've been teasing it for a bit, but officially – have the flights booked, Mike, headed to the Waste Management in Scottsdale, Arizona at the end of January. It's going to be fun. Packed bags. It's going to be a Thursday to Saturday. We're hopping in and out. But I can tell you, Mike, a lot of exciting things in the works. Shout out to our friends at Desert Fox Golf. Going to get a round in with them. Going to be putting some good content out there. A little subset breaking news as well, too. Texted good friend of the pod and PGA Tour champion Nate Lashley. He is in the field at Scottsdale. Confirmed.
Very nice.
You're welcome. So he'll be there. We'll have a chance to meet up with him. Couple other guests that have been on the podcast previously as well. We're going to be doing some content with them. It's going to be an action-packed trip, Mike, and I'm ready for the madness of the 16th hole as well, the biggest party in golf.
Just tell me, though, how disappointed are you that Phil Mickelson won't be there?
I am. I'm wondering what the crowd reaction will be. I think there'll be some upset people. He'll be making his piles and piles of dough over in Saudi Arabia instead. But the field never lets down. Always a high energy weekend. We've talked about for the entire existence of this pod. One of the best tournaments you can get yourself to, whether you're a golf fan or not, it's a complete party all weekend. Going to be an electric atmosphere. It's Super Bowl weekend as well, too. Going to be a really cool spot in Old Town. Going to have some fun nights out there. And look forward to a lot of content coming from us from the Waste Management Open Week. It's going to be a fun one in Phoenix.
It's going to be exciting next couple of months as we roll up to that tournament. You know what else is always a fun couple of months? And that's the Democratic debates, the lead up to the primaries.
Yes, debate number 7,584. Mike,
this is
ridiculous. I checked this before that we hopped on to talk, only just to humor myself. I was like, there couldn't actually be one more debate that they're going to squeeze in before the holidays, right? Absolutely no way.
Yeah, definitely. No. Ratings bonanza.
Definitely. We have a December 19th Democratic presidential candidate debate, which is mind-blowing to me. Mike, this is my annual – it's Christmas season. It's the week before Christmas. This is my once-a-year question I ask you. I'm putting you on the spot. When's Hanukkah this year? Is this during Hanukkah? Or what are we doing here? This is right in the midst of the holiday schedule. I just can't believe they're trying to squeeze one more in for us.
So Hanukkah is rather late this year. It's starting the week of Christmas. In fact, I think it may start on Festivus Eve.
Ooh, 22nd. Love it. Okay.
It's either 22nd or the 23rd. I don't remember exactly which one it is there. So we're going to have a whole big week of holidays between Hanukkah, Festivus, Christmas, and then rounding it all out with New Year's and Canadian Boxing Day and Kwanzaa and everything.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a fun couple weeks to end it all. And we're going to start, of course, with another Democratic debate.
That's unbelievable. I just can't believe the schedule has gotten even more full, and they refuse to trim the field. We've been asking to hashtag trim the field for months and months now, and they just absolutely refuse. One guy who was worried about Hanukkah, Mike, and the scheduling of the debates, Bernie Sanders, for sure. You know? The legend Bernie, a guy that we're following on the campaign trail. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. He's always good for a few quotables, but this one didn't come from Bernie. This story that you have for us actually comes from a former Major League Baseball player that is like really propping up Bernie Sanders big time.
Yeah, this is Aubrey Huff. So former Major League Baseball player.
21st round fantasy baseball, first base option backup, basically.
Yeah. He does have a couple World Series rings from the San Francisco Giants in 2010 and 2012. He was part of those teams. Yeah. So if you've been around a while, you've probably heard his name.
Yep.
But a while ago, he actually posted an interesting photo on Twitter about how he's training his kids on how to use guns in the quote unquote unlikely event Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump in 2020. He wants to make sure his kids know how to effectively use a gun under socialism.
Yeah, because I'm sure Bernie's the one that's going to really be coming for them. You know, he seems like the aggressive type, you know, so that makes complete sense.
Beto was the one who wanted to come take everyone's AK-47.
Yeah, I think they mixed up their B candidates there. There's so many of them. I get it. It's confusing. So you can cross your wire sometimes with the huge field that we still have. But I mean, more than anything, my takeaway, Mike, is this is a huge prop up for Bernie Sanders. I didn't realize that people across America are already preparing for Bernie versus Trump. I had not heard that from anyone until now. So shout out to Aubrey Huff for really giving a pat on the shoulder to Bernie Sanders and how he's apparently doing. I didn't realize he had that level of momentum right now.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize that socialism meant your guns were going to go away. I honestly didn't know that.
It's an equal sign. They're directly correlated, Mike, obviously.
Yeah, something like that.
That was our pop politics for this week. And, Mike, let's roll into that little in-the-weeds chat that I had with Jeremy on the President's Cup week coming up here.
Yeah, so last week, of course, we did the first part of your chat with Jeremy Schilling on his podcast, Teeing It Up. And this week, we'll continue that conversation that you had with him about the President's Cup and Tiger Woods and everything else going on. But first, It's getting to be that holiday time of year. Time is running out to get someone a brand new golf bag. And Izzo Golf has you covered at www.izzo.com. You can select one of the world's finest golf bags from their website. Whether you want to get it for someone who likes to walk or take the cart, Izzo has three different kinds of bags to choose from. Whether you choose the Gemini, the Versa, or the Lite, you can get free personalization on the front ball pocket. Get the person's name, initials, championship title, or whatever else you think they'd like on the front for their Christmas present and is unique to them. You can choose from multiple different color combinations and features. And right now, save an extra 25% with the promo code podcast. Again, that's an extra 25% off any bag or anything at all, really, from Izzo.com with promo code podcast. Again, that's www.izzo.com, promo code podcast for 25% off your order today.
All right, so we're talking to Alex Lazon, teeing it up. That's my show, Course of Life. That's his show. The President's Cup is next week. On paper, this should be a romp. You and I have both played competitive golf. Match play does not go as scripted. Here's how I look at this. Bryson DeChambeau went through a body metamorphosis in the offseason. He, for me, is the biggest question mark, because he's going to be playing in some very important matches. He may play up there with JT some of the most. So my question becomes, when you look at who this team kind of lays itself out, Cantlay's in a new spot. We'll see how he reacts. Everybody else kind of has been there. Woodland, Tiger, obviously Finau, they've all been on teams in the past. Patrick Reed has not had form of late, but he seems to rise up in match play. But you and I have both seen over the years, guys who change their bodies have very different reactions when they come back. Curious to see Bryson's form this week, and really curious to see if he can trust himself next week.
Yeah, that is interesting. And the way that the schedule has been arranged the last few years in golf, this tournament has really gotten shoved at an interesting point in the calendar. It's not necessarily, the gravity of this being the President's Cup is still there, Jeremy, but just the way this sits on the calendar this year, it doesn't exactly lead you to believe that players are forming their entire winter schedules around the President's Cup. So I'm wondering exactly, guys like DeChambeau and Ricky, we haven't seen quite recently, and we're not really sure where they sit at this point. There definitely are more question marks on this U.S. President's Cup team than there have been in the last few. And again, just for anyone who hasn't been following it, it's been very dominant with the U.S. in the President's Cup. I believe it's something along the lines of like 10 out of the last 11, and you can correct me, but it's been very dominant for Team U.S., so you're wondering if there's going to be some wrinkles or little blips on the radar for them with a few guys that are questionable and maybe not in the greatest form. And, a pick like Patrick Reed could go wildly one way or the other for player captain Tiger Woods.
Here's my thing, though. Bring up the international team if you have technology in front of you, and the same for those out there. Who do you trust on that team?
Yeah, there's a lot of new names on that team, too. I mean, I'm very curious to see the couple young guys on the international team that I'm watching on the President's Cup. And you'll know these names because you've seen me place probably far too many frequent little wagers on them. The guys that I like and follow a lot, that being Cam Smith, the Australian, playing in his home country. This is going to be very interesting to see how he's able to kind of take the torch with Jason Day not being there now. If he can kind of work with Leash and Adam Scott and the other Aussies to kind of rally the troops. I'll be very interested to see him. And then Hao Tong Li could be kind of a wild card for that team. Abraham Answer, a very new name as well. So again, as much as I say that there's questions on the U.S. side, there's definitely guys on the international team that are leaving a lot of question marks as we head into play. I'm looking for the Aussies to really hold down the fort and a guy like Louis Oosthuizen to deliver a really good performance if the international team's giving themselves a chance next week at all.
Which is why I was surprised Brandon Grace wasn't a captain's pick.
Yeah, just saw him playing well in the Euro Tour the last couple weeks as well, too.
Yeah.
In terms of just recent form.
And he and Oosthuizen, I believe, are the winningest all-time international team President's Cup pairing ever. Here's my question about the Europeans.
Side, yeah.
It's so funny. We're so used to saying Americans, Europeans, Ryder Cup. Sorry. The internationals. Yeah. Sun JM, he took, what, 3 weeks off last week, I think? Sorry, 3 weeks off last season, I believe the stat
that's
was.
That's about the equivalent of you or I going on a four-month vacation in the middle of the calendar year for him. That guy's an Ironman.
He's an Ironman and has played almost every week this fall. Ben Ahn, who's had good form, was just added when Jason Day withdrew. Does he suddenly feel pressure? And CT Pan, there's a bunch of these guys who got on this team because they won events. Mark Leishman's the same way. Got on this team because they won events way earlier in the year, or way earlier in the cycle. CT Pan won his event. If I'm not mistaken, he won the RBC Heritage, right? So he won the week after the Masters. That's April. This is a long time since he showed form. So how does Sun JM, who's yet to have a win, play in a big spot? Ben Ahn's been successful overseas, but he was a late add. How does he fit in, and does he feel too much pressure? And can CT Pan find form when he hasn't been playing well lately? Those are three hugely talented people who I think could rise up and suddenly shock some folks and be like, whoa, this is, because these guys are talented. If you go down the 12 men, they're 12 talented men. The problem is they have not shown consistent form time and time and time again.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks, and I'm going to add just on top of the venue in general and where they're taking the President's Cup. This is not your average trip to a tournament, getting to Royal Melbourne, having been to Australia. It's quite the trek. There's a lot of logistics involved getting to the venue. And it's a very kind of out of place spot in the calendar for these players. And like you mentioned, guys that haven't shown up on the leaderboard in months and haven't won in close to a year, it's going to be interesting to see if they can rev the engine at the right moment when their names are called by the captains, Elden Woods.
If you are Tiger, do you put somebody else on that plane? Do you put a 13th guy? Because I can't trust Dustin Johnson right now. I mean, think about it. It's 18 men. It's a shits and giggles week. He could shoot 473s, and all Tiger would care about is good form. Literally. Why is he not playing hero? I'm very suspicious about Dustin. And if I was Tiger, I would have a 13th person on call. And for me, that person would be Kevin Na.
Oh, yeah. We've been chirping for Kevin Na, a guy that we previously loved to hate on back in the day. Yes. We were Camp Kevin Na on the Course of Life podcast the last several weeks trying to get him on the team, but it wasn't to me. Hey, Jeremy, can we just, like, whip out a captain? Can Zach Johnson just, you know, suit him up at a moment's notice? Is there anything against that rule?
I know. I believe that anybody could be named to that team. Literally Roger Maltby could be named to that team.
Yes, that would be a treat for everyone, indeed. I think probably Zach Johnson's maybe that 13th guy, if I had to guess. But you're right, and just harping on the Dustin Johnson thing, the thing that sketches me about him withdrawing from this tournament, the Bahamas, right before the trip to Australia, is the timing of the announcement. You know, if he kind of knew consciously that he wanted the extra week, he would have not even put himself in the field at the Hero. He would have made this announcement weeks ago and let everyone know, like, listen, I've tracked out my return. I'm going to be working out and playing three rounds a week, you know, right next to my home. I'm going to be ready. I'll be on the plane. I look forward to it. The fact that, you know, he kind of had a thought of playing in the Hero and then all of a sudden decided to withdraw just days before, that kind of leads me to have even more doubts about his health, because he doesn't really even have a good grip on knowing exactly how his recovery is going. So it's a red flag for sure.
And remember, this is a Wednesday to Saturday event to help them get to Australia. I believe that announcement was Saturday, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's the equivalent, folks, for a Thursday to Sunday event of saying on the previous Sunday, I'm out. Now, this was based off the August 26th World Golf Rankings. So these guys said yes months ago, but he could have very easily have withdrawn at the same time Brooks Koepka withdrew, from the President's Cup. Brooks was never entered in this event, but he could have, you know, withdrew at some point leading in. The fact that it's a week before is to me a gigantic red flag. And that one of the things that I think is interesting about this President's Cup, and by the way, you can see the President's Cup live in prime time
I wanted to lead you right into this, Jeremy. I was about to ask you, with all these red flags and question marks, the other one I had for you, go ahead and lead us through. But how am I going to watch this thing anyway? What are the times you got in this thing?
This is going to be beautiful for you. So, day one. So it's going to be live in prime time on Golf Channel every night. Days 3 and 4 will repeat on NBC during the day, but it's live on Golf Channel in prime time every night. Day one, which is best ball, is 4:30 to 11 p.m. Central, your time zone, 5:30 to midnight Eastern. Day two, which is alternate shot, is 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central to midnight Eastern, 11 p.m. Central. Day three, which is two sessions, is 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. This is next Friday, remember. 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central to 2 in the morning Eastern, 1 in the morning Central. And Sunday singles is Saturday night, December 14th, also the date of my best friend's wedding. 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, going to midnight Eastern, 11 p.m. Central.
Pretty good primetime action there for a majority of the country, and that sets up really nice for the social crowds going out Friday and Saturday night, for sure. Going to be a nice combo, and it's a very, very quiet sports weekend from a football perspective. So there's a lot of opportunity for eyeballs, especially when they're putting in primetime. So shout out to them. Nice work logistically.
Yes. Well, and also it's because of the time zone. This works out for both.
I love time zones.
Yes.
I can never get my finger around how time zones work, but I love them.
Well, the bottom line is between Australia and here, there's enough of a gap where it works for the Aussies and it works for us, and we get to watch live golf in prime time. So that's how you can watch it. For me, there's a huge amount of pressure here on Adam Hadwin and some of these vets, Louis Oosthuizen and Adam Hadwin, Adam Scott. There's a lot of pressure on these guys who have been in big spots, who have gone for majors. They've got to step up. This is a really young international team. The U.S., meanwhile, has, even if they're not in shape, a whole bunch of major winners. You have the list in front of you. I don't even know what the total major count is for anybody who's on the international team. It's at least one because of Adam Scott's Masters.
I only see a few. And if we can wipe one off the board with Jason Day.
Yep, and that's Oosthuizen's 2010 win, obviously, at St. Andrews. The U.S. team has like 10,000 because of Tiger. So for my money, this is going to come down to fairways, greens, and understanding the golf course and relying on vets. And that, I think, is essential for this week, is being able to do this and being able to rely on vets. Now, brings up an interesting question, though, for Tiger, which is, as a playing captain, a lot of pressure on you. He only has to legally, per the rules, play 2 matches. I think he plays way more than that. But what's your thoughts on Tiger, what Tiger's going to do, and how this parlays into his production down there at Royal Melbourne?
Well, I know little brother Justin Thomas is going to beg and plead for pairing with him.
Hold on. The hero pairings are out. Tiger controls those pairings, and guess who Tiger's playing with on Thursday?
Oh, I couldn't imagine. So.
Yes, it is Justin Thomas, 11:35 a.m. Eastern.
Of course. Little brother, big brother, I like to call them. So we're going to get one of those. I wonder, just kind of doing a scroll based on compatibility, I wonder if maybe he gives Tony Finau a nod, maybe goes out with him. It's a possible pairing. Maybe even a shot with Bryson, depending on how his form looks. I'm going to go 3 matches for Tiger. I'm going to say 1 each day. I don't really know morning, afternoon, any of that. But I think
4-day event. Remember, Wednesday through Saturday Eastern.
Yeah, I think probably three. I doubt he's in more than three matches. I think he's going to really embrace the role of being a playing captain. I don't think he's going to wear himself out on the course. He's going to put a lot of focus into how he can get the best pairings out there and the best matchups, and he's going to kind of let the dice fall from there. And he's going to take his time, obviously, on the course to lock in and get his points. But I think he's really going to, you're going to see by the end of the week, he's going to embrace the captain aspect even more than he is as a playing captain.
He's Alex Lazon, host of the Course of Life podcast. I'm Jeremy Schilling, host of the Teeing It Up podcast. All right, so time to put on your picking cap for multiple things. I'm going to ask you multiple questions, and you've got to answer them. The winner of the President's Cup is, and for me, it's the U.S. in an absolute rout. I hope it's not that, but I believe it's an absolute rout.
Now, so I'm going to go U.S., but if there was some sort of spread on the score, I can't find that yet. If there's some sort of spread on the score, I would take the international team to cover, though. So, you know, I don't know. It's usually, you know, something along the lines of like 19-11 or 18-12. I'm going to say maybe something more along the lines of like 16-13 for the U.S. squad. A slight narrow margin of victory for the U.S.
Justin Rose is my hero winner. Who is your hero winner?
My hero winner is probably going to be Xander Schauffele, a guy that I'm very prone to picking and a guy that is going to be very kind of focused on these next couple weeks. It's a good way to solidify himself on the international competition stage. So I think that's one of those guys who is locked in for next week, but won't just be kind of hitting it around and giggling. I think he's going to be looking to go for a W this week, so I'll take Schauffele.
The winner this year, 2019 PGA Tour, and this is not to be negative, it's hard to win on the PGA Tour. Charles Howell III is the perfect example of this. The winner this year on the PGA Tour who will go the longest before their next win. And I'm putting you on the spot on purpose because this is a really, this is like one of those memory test things, but it's an interesting question because we could go one hit wonders, but that's insulting and that's not what Teeing It Up does. I want to know who wins again, but takes the longest to get there.
Just going off of recency, I'll go ahead and throw Brendan Todd out there as a pick. This is a guy who's a pro forever, and he just quite literally got struck by lightning twice with amazing performances, and it's amazing to see the resiliency that that guy's had. He's just kind of always been known as a name in the world of golf, and no one could ever really put a face to him until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he really shot himself onto the scene in an impressive fashion. So I'll go Todd for that question.
Phil, because I have no confidence in Phil, even though he claims he's on a 10-week off-season plan that'll totally revitalize his game.
Another one? What, is this another cleanse or what?
I don't know. He did not specify.
I'll get the follow-up on that. Hopefully he's not doing that coffee drink again because that failed miserably.
I have no idea. So that's number one. And my second is Corey Connors. Talk to Adam Stanley, who's a Canadian expert for PGAtour.com. This is a guy with a world of talent. Sometimes when you come from these countries that are golfing hotbeds, but you're the representative of that country, sometimes you can have you can have trouble following up your win. I think that's Corey Connors this year. Nothing against him. I just think it takes him a while to get his sea legs. Contrary to that, I think Joaquin Niemann breaks through and starts winning a bunch. So that's my bonus breakthrough player.
Yeah, we've been dying for the Chilean Mr. Avocado, as I like to call him. He's a big avocado guy, and hopefully his diet matches his play in 2020. That's the guy that everyone should watch out for.
Watch him at Augusta. Him and Cam Champ at Augusta are going to be awesome.
Yeah, that will be fun. A lot of new names out there, Jeremy.
They have a swash. Is it swashbuckling?
Yeah, it is, and I like the way you pronounce it with the sh at the beginning too. It's swashbuckling.
It was me trying to think in the moment if I had the right pronunciation or not.
Yeah, you got there.
But anyway, I think those two guys in the aggressive style that they play with could be fascinating to watch around Augusta National. He's Alex Lazan. I'm Jeremy Schilling. Alex, thank you as always for coming on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling.
Hey, thanks.
We're back. Great chat with Jeremy Schilling there had with you, Alex, for his podcast that we are cross-promoting.
Shout out to Teeing It Up.
Ours. Shout out to them. Always good friends over there. So we'll see how this week's goes with President's Cup.
Yeah, Tiger picking Tiger. That's what I'm looking forward to all week. And though what the fun thing is and they've started to televise this more, and you'll kind of recall this moment, but the night before matches, they usually have some brief little thing on the television, some sort of a press conference where the captains actually get up and they announce like who's going to be playing each other the next day. I can't wait to have Tiger just go up there and just like throw himself up first. Just throw himself right on the board. It's good. I think he should just change the sign. Like you put the sign up and usually says Woods. He should just change it and throw the sign up there and just says me. Duh, obviously. I mean, why would I not be on there?
It'd be hilarious. And also if he continually talk, I'd actually rather he talk about himself in the third person some more like he did when he picked himself for the team.
It is great when Tiger Woods talks Tiger Woods and picks Tiger Woods. I do really enjoy that. Yeah. So we're looking forward to all the action in Australia.
It's always fun. You know what was exciting this weekend?
Yes.
Was college football.
Championship weekend.
Championship weekend. I have to say, though, I'm really disappointed in Oregon. Really, really disappointed.
They let us down. We talked about our temporary Utah fandom last week, and boy, did Utah stink, Mike. They were not deserving of that number five ranking at all.
No, they were not. That's really disappointing in general. So let's run down that top four. LSU crushed Georgia in the SEC championship game. They got to pop their way up to number one.
They did.
Ohio State beat Wisconsin, but they just dropped down to number two. Do you think that's appropriate? Do you think LSU should have jumped over Ohio State?
I don't think LSU's win was that much better than Ohio State's. Ohio State won by two scores. LSU won by four. I understand that Georgia was a little higher ranked, but I don't think it was that much more impressive to leapfrog OSU. But nonetheless, Joe Burrow and the Tigers, Coach O, go Tigers. They're the number one seed and OSU number two, like you mentioned. So in the end, it's going to be LSU one against, Mike, OU, freaking Oklahoma. They did it. They beat out Baylor and they sneak in at number four, winning the Big 12. That was quite disheartening to see on Saturday afternoon, for sure.
Yeah, so we still have the usual suspects in this Final Four with LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. No new teams coming in here, nothing crazy, but at least we can look forward to Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so Hawaii played a horrible conference championship game, unfortunately, against Boise State on the blue field. Always tough to play in the blue field. That's one of the trickiest places to play. The color just messes with you. But great news, the fallback, we discussed it. Hawaii is in the Hawaii Bowl. Everyone rejoice. Definitely. Christmas Eve night, it's the only game on. It's going to be glorious. It's Hawaii BYU. It's going to be tropical while everyone's freezing under the Christmas tree, drinking the evening away, Yuletide carols and Hawaii Bowl visions, palm trees everywhere. It's going to be it's one of the best sights of the sports year, honestly. I'm already looking forward to it.
So Hawaii gets to have a home bowl game.
Yep.
Texas also practically gets a home bowl game where they get to play New Year's Eve night in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, and Mike, guess who they're playing? Utah, of course.
Ooh.
Of course. Yep. Utah, after falling flat on their face, playing a Texas team that's fallen flat on its face all year, pretty much. A couple of teams probably a little disappointed with their result, but playing in San Antonio. And that's the annual New Year's Eve. You're partying and the game's on mute and you're not really paying attention game. So the Longhorns in Utah will be the final game of 2019. And I know the one other one that you want to shout out is your Eagles down south. And I'm not talking about Boston College either.
No, I'd rather talk about Boston College, but that's okay. We can talk about the Georgia Southern Eagles right up the road from me. They'll be playing in the Cure Bowl in Orlando, right down the road, a couple hours away from here. So practically a home game for Georgia Southern. And they get to play. I didn't even know Liberty University had a football team.
Yeah, there you go. You learn something new every day, Mike. So Liberty has a football team. Welcome. Welcome. And they're playing in Orlando.
I didn't think they were allowed to play. The question is when at least these games are on a Saturday, not a Sunday, because it's not, you're not allowed to touch the skin of a pig on the holy day.
Yeah, that's so, right. This is Saturday, December 21st. Saturday. That first ugly Saturday with weird schools playing. It's pretty much Georgia Southern's annual slot now is playing on that first Saturday of bowl season. And, you know, Mike, what better destination than Orlando, Florida? You know, just absolutely the most glamorous place in the world.
Win the game and then you can go to Disney World.
I think that's the move. Is they're going to steal the Super Bowl slogan. Is you win and you say, we're going to Super Bowl. We just won the Cure Bowl. Yeah, what could be better, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about the NFL and the Super Bowl and how the Pats lost again. The sky is falling. But need we remember the Patriots lost how many games last year? 4 games?
Indeed. Yes.
Yeah, we're not total freak out territory yet, are we?
No, and just like 5 years ago, it's very eerie, Mike. A heartbreaking loss to Kansas City. People were wondering if Tom Brady should be benched in 2014 at that moment, and Bill Belichick uttered the famous words, "We're on to Cincinnati." And sure enough, they crushed Cincinnati, rolled the rest of that season, and won the Super Bowl. Yet again, here they sit after another questionable loss where their offense looks in complete question marks right now. They're literally on to Cincinnati. The Bengals are much more horrible than that time around, but we're just trying to move on in any way possible.
I was going to say, if they lose to the Bengals, then they don't belong in the Super Bowl.
Then it's official red flags. I do not have the red flags up yet. Everyone wants me to have the red flags up yet. I refuse. Yeah. I saw them lose 2 heartbreakers in December last year. You may remember the miracle in Miami that I was at, that heartbreaker, followed by a loss to the Steelers. And everyone was saying the exact same stuff at the exact same time last year, Mike. You know how it works in the NFL. The way the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year, they only played 1 great game, and it was in Kansas City. The other 2 were gifted to them by really stupid teams in the Rams and the Chargers. So it doesn't take much. It really doesn't for them to flip the switch and turn things around, and maybe playing a crappy team like the Bengals will help.
Will be good at least for their self-confidence.
You need it.
Speaking of confidence – let's talk about my New York football Giants for a moment.
Oh, yes, that's right. We had some huge news drop for you last week.
Huge, huge news. Let Daniel Jones out, Eli Manning in.
Wow.
Thanks to an injury. It's currently 8:55 p.m. Eastern time on the Monday night.
Live.
The game against the Eagles is going on right now. And I just want to point out, before I looked at what the tiebreaker rules were, even remembering what tiebreaker rules were for winning a division, what did I say when you told me that Eli was going to be playing?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking run the table and how can we get into the playoffs, basically.
It was Eli's going to run the table. They're going to finish 6-10. The Cowboys are going to lose out. They're going to go 6-10. Yep. And then the Eagles will do something done. Unfortunately, the Giants lose the tiebreak with the Cowboys. But the hilarious thing would have been the Giants backing into the playoffs and then playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Eli Manning is MVP and wins and then retires. Yes. That's not going to happen because the Giants won't win the tiebreaker.
Stupid
but you
tiebreaker.
Could still see a 6-10 team come out of the NFC East to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, this is weird. It's like a 4-game, like, revenge, retirement, farewell, is he gone or not tour. We don't really know. It's like the Rolling Stones. Is this the last time they go on tour, or is there one more? We don't quite know right now with Eli. So I guess what I want from you, since it is Monday night when we're talking, is I want 2 different reactions from you. So I want reaction number 1 right now. Eli Manning plays the game of his life, absolutely balls out, and leads the Giants to a heroic victory. Your thoughts?
He finishes leading the team for his last three games with the Giants, and then he hangs it up.
And that's it. He goes out on a beautiful note.
He goes out on a beautiful note. He wins out with the team, and he says, "All right, I'm done. It's your team now, Jones," and he walks away.
I love that. And then option two, none of that happens. Eli is the Eli that we do remember from earlier this season and last season, and it's 2-11 for the Giants.
Then at that point, what I would do is still say, "Eli, season's over for us. We're going to let you finish out your career here, and then you can do whatever you want. But we're gonna try to save face from kicking you out of the starting lineup way too early in the season. Yes. It doesn't matter anymore. We're going to save Daniel Jones for next season. Go ahead and finish it out.
Big win-win there for Eli. Shout out to him. He's going to enjoy this last month here, pretty much no matter what. According to you, it seems like.
I think that's the right thing to do for the team. To at least say, you know, we weren't doing anything under Daniel Jones. Let's try to save face and put Eli in there and just let him have his time. And then he's done.
So the Eli revenge retirement farewell, is he done tour rolls on as we head into the Christmas season. Indeed, Mike. So, yeah.
Well, you know, New York doesn't have a lot of good things to look forward to with the Giants. So now we're all waiting for the official word that Gerrit Cole is going to the Yankees.
Yeah, you guys that's going to happen for you guys. So congratulations on that signing already. You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Yankees are going to win the World Series next season.
Hey, just remember, Gerrit Cole, he's told the Astros he's just an employee. So don't fall in love with him. He's just an employee. He's gone as soon as that contract's up. Just telling you now.
Well, you know, it's hard to be part of a team that cheats and still lose.
Yes. Shout out to the guy banging the trash can. We love him.
That's right. That's right. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes.
As we like to do here now on Course of Life. You have a fun little ham story.
Yeah.
So please share.
Well, my ham dinner was a bit of a letdown with my dad visiting. Apparently, Mike, I'm the only person in my family that actually likes ham during Christmas time. This was shocking to me. My mom and dad have been playing along every year and continuously served me a ham during Christmas time because that was the thing I did. I know that my mom is not a huge ham fan, and my dad just pretty much straight turned it down. He opted with steaks on the grill, which I'm not hating on. That was great. It was a 75-degree evening yesterday, so we crushed that. But yeah, I guess the ham Christmas memories that I had as a kid were pretty much just all for naught, and my parents were just kind of just keeping it up for me. So.
You know, I'm not a ham fan either on any day. I mean, if it's sliced in a sandwich, I'm good with it. But, you know, like a spiral ham, I'm just not feeling it.
Is it time for us to just kind of metaphorically just throw ham away? Like, do we need to stop falling back to it around these holiday settings? Because outside of Christmas time and maybe Easter, I'm never thinking about doing a spiral ham. So.
I mean, no, I don't think you need to. There were a couple times I remember my mother did ham steaks for dinner. Ooh. And just do a little orange juice, a little brown sugar right at the end on top of it. Just, you know, searing it off in a pan, put a little OJ and brown sugar in there at the end to just kind of give it a little glaze, a little bit more sweetness.
I could go with that, thick cut, Mike. That might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
All right. So I'll keep it alive and I'll report back next week and let you know how it goes for sure.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. And of course, you got to get your holiday shopping done this week too. So don't forget about that.
Yes, our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Izzo Golf, great deals from them. You can follow us at Twitter at Course of Life One. He's at MWRINC. Like we mentioned, a lot of more excitements around the content announcement, heading to Waste Management. We'll be previewing that in the next several weeks. Next week, we got a pre-Christmas app. We're basically here. That late Thanksgiving, Mike, really shifted things into gear with the holiday season.
It really did. And what I do want to say real quick is we are planning, of course, to do our annual, well, the second time ever, but our annual Festivus episode.
It is. It will be a Festivus.
And I want to ask if anyone has anything they want to hear in that episode or things in particular that they think were great feats of strength or anything that they think was particularly annoying about this year, please let us know. Share with it on Facebook. Tell us on Twitter.
Yeah, and you can
happened. And we'll throw it in.
And please direct that at us too. You can hate on us. Yeah. You can air your grievances for how much you dislike us. We would welcome that.
I think we're the worst. We're the absolute worst.
Yeah, so we'll, you know, we'll get into shaming ourselves as well as we prepare for the Festivus episode too.
You got to remember, we're New Englanders. We don't know how to be nice to each other.
Oh yeah, masshole forever. Yeah, love it. Awesome. Exactly. Good stuff. Go. So we'll be seeing everyone next week. Should be another fantastic episode. For Mike, I am Alex. This has been another edition of The Course of Life. We'll see you next week.